Welcome to the Christian Indie Writers Podcast, where we inform, encourage, and support Christian indie writers on the journey to publication. I'm Jamie Hirschberger. I write short fiction under the pen name J.R. Nichols.
I'm Jennifer Carl Tong, and I write historical Christian romance.
I'm Christina Catane, and I write in multiple genres, including Christian dystopian fiction.
I'm Rhonda Hagerman, and I write fiction and nonfiction.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Thanks for tuning in and listening live. And a big thank you to all of our listeners on iTunes or any of the other platforms where we make the podcast available to you. YouTube viewers, if you like what you see, remember to hit that like and subscribe so you never miss an episode of the Christian Indie Writers Podcast. If you are watching, why not take a moment to say hello in the chat? We've got some of our regulars there already. So jump on in. So ladies, we start every episode with a segment we call What's Up. This is where we go around the table, so to speak, virtually, and check in to find out what is going on with one another. So, Tina, what's up with you today?
Well, I'm in week two of living in my camper at the campground where my daughter lives.
That's a pretty fancy looking camper, Tina.
This is my daughter's office in
her
house.
Oh, okay.
Because she has her own internet and the campground's Wi-Fi is rather spotty. So
sure.
I come over here to use their internet. So I'm in her office instead of outside this time. So there's not so much noise interfering with things, but we are following a PCOS diet that she found because she has PCOS and it prevents her from ovulating and she wants to get pregnant. So this diet and exercise and lifestyle change regimen is a bunch of women say they got pregnant after following it. So I'm here to support her and help her to be able to stick to it.
And you don't have any, like, I'm going home sort of date in mind, do you?
No, I don't.
No. So that's interesting.
I told my husband I'll probably be gone a month or more.
Wow. Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, he was visiting though, right?
Like, oh yeah. Like, come on the weekends. He knows where I am.
Like, see you, Bob.
And when are we coming down to visit?
I don't know. Whenever he feels like it.
No, when are we coming down to visit?
Oh, whenever you want to. I'm here. I have no car because my husband totaled his car and he's using mine. Oh. So he dropped me off here. Uh-huh. So I have a golf cart, and I'm not going far on that.
I'd rather have a golf cart.
Will travel. I love golf cart transportation. It's so fun. You feel
where you live, you can go all over the place.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. The villages are crazy. If you guys, if you guys don't know about the villages here in Florida, it's a senior community where, like, because, you know, it's a fact of life that eventually they take your driver's license from you for reasons, whatever, but they let you drive a golf cart. And in the villages, there's everything. Publix, which is a grocery store, the bank, the drive-through fast food place, they all accommodate golf cart traffic. It's amazing. If you've never been to the villages in Florida, it's really something to see. They have tunnels and bridges, and you can just get around by golf cart pretty much anywhere.
Well, here we have the beach, the playground, the high ropes course, my daughter's house. So that's where I go. And I have like a bright red lifted golf. It has a lift kit on it. So I have like, it's like a monster golf cart.
And to be clear, Jamie doesn't live in the villages. She's not that old yet.
No.
She lives just on the edges of it. So like, but you get to utilize all that.
Yeah. Right? It's fun there.
Right.
So, some people are joining in the chat, Jen.
Yeah. Shell says, what's up? Missed you all last week. I was on vacation, but I took my notebook and worked on outlining
Yay!
A new story.
While I was like, good for Way you. To be portable with the writing.
We were just talking about that, about road tripping and, doing outlining and things like that. So, Piper says, in the middle of a kitchen reno, and I just found out it's going to take months longer than anticipated.
Oh, dun, no. Dun, dun.
Plus, figured out a huge plot issue with a working project. Well, that's good.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. We love that.
Is that good or is that?
Oh, yeah.
Piper,
oh,
no. Don't shave your hair. You know what I mean? Don't do anything drastic to your hair. It sounds like you're under a major stress. That's my unsolicited advice for you for the day. Moving on.
Robin says, what's up? I got book mail, 50 copies of my two books in regular and large print.
Fun Yay! Day. Book mail is a fun day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what is up with you, Rhonda?
What is up with me? Well, my lighting is bad today. I apologize for that. I'm still trying to figure out the best place that I want to broadcast from the place in this place, because, you know, the modem and just wireless issues and that sort of thing. And the problem, this is a perfect space, except I don't have a lamp with a cord long enough to give me a full face of light right in the spot.
Could you turn your desk around to where the window is here for you instead of behind you?
I have it turned as much as I possibly can right now. Yep. So I'll just have to be sort of.
Not the lamp.
Very mysterious.
Like the window's behind you. If you could sit where the window was this way is what I meant, not your lamp.
So Jen, what you're saying is if you're trying to do lighting, because this is something maybe other people would want to know, let's say they decide they're going to be a guest on a podcast and they want to get their lights right.
Or Instagram stories. Yeah.
So tell us, what are you saying is the principle behind lighting? You want to put it so it's shining on your face? What's the general guideline?
Natural light is best always.
Natural light is best always.
So right now I'm actually using a ring light, which I can't reach. Otherwise I would show you guys what I mean by that. I am using a ring light because in this room, there are there's a sliding glass door and a large window. And right here is a window. So there's nowhere for me to turn for like there not to be a window behind me, except for like right here with the fireplace behind me. And so I have to like offset it using that. But my new office, which is getting built right now, has a little window that my desk will sit at so that it like is this way. So hopefully I'll be able to like just use natural light that way. So,
So is that kind of your what's up, Rhonda? Is just kind of still trying to get settled in there?
Yeah. I really haven't had that much of a productive week, and it's not like I haven't been doing anything. It's just, no jobs are completely finished from this week. You know, they're all in progress.
I understand, because you know what? Sometimes your writing business is a lot like maintaining a home. Sometimes you have to do stuff like clean the filters or replumb a sink or work that is behind the walls that you don't get to see, but is still important to having a functional house. I mean, everybody likes to, you know, get the new countertops or whatever, but you also have to do some of those maintenance things. So it's still productive, and you know you were busy. But you're like, I don't have a ta-da at the end to show you. Yeah, I get that.
If you Bujo people need to learn that just because it's not done doesn't mean you didn't make progress.
Well,
like, just because you didn't check it off your list.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if I break it down to enough points, then I can check lists.
Maybe you should do that. You'll feel more accomplished.
Inhale, check mark. Exhale, check mark.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Jen, you see something in the chat? You kind of have that look on your face.
I do. Sage says that I had a difficult week. Monday was a 5-year anniversary of my mom passing. And
I'm sorry
about that.
I can't imagine losing my mom. I mean, I've lost people that are very dear to me, and it's hard. So we understand. Mm-hmm. Maria says her what's up is done some editing on her third historical novel. Also picked up front cover for my children's fantasy novel.
Yeah. Well, thanks for doing that poll. I thought that was fun. And it was really encouraging to see so many regular names kind of chiming in over there. I thought that was really fun. So I appreciate kind of being tagged in that. I'll do my what's up next. So today I burned my breakfast. And what is kind of funny about that is, so I was making bacon, and my house is, for me, empty. Only two children are sleeping at home right now. And I'm like, oh no, I'm making bacon. The kids are going to wake up and they're going to get all hopeful that there's bacon. And I'm going to say that I ate it all. But you know what's worse is waking up and thinking, oh, there's bacon, and then hearing, but I burned it all. I don't know why it seems like that's going to be even a worse story for my children. But that's how it feels to me. And that is my what's up for today.
Like how burnt? Like you couldn't eat it? Because I will eat it. I like my bacon a little bit on the wobbly side, but I'll eat it burnt too because it's bacon. Like,
if I won't eat it, it is a briquette.
Oh. Okay. That's so, how bad.
Yeah, I pretty much like
it's
there was
crumbling into ash, is what you're saying.
Yes. You remember like, so this morning I was like, oh, I'm all ready to go for the podcast early. I didn't even know it was like 8:30. I was all ready to go. And then, you know, drama. So I wasn't, but that's why I burned my bacon. Cause I was actually taking care of business for the podcast instead of paying attention to cooking. Oopsie. I'm like a Sim. If you don't click on me constantly, I'm going to burn the house down, I guess.
Speaking of bacon, I left mine over there. So sad. It's like probably cold by now.
Maria said, would have been impressive if you'd burnt cereal. It's possible, I'm sure.
I know. Give me time. Give me
cream
time.
Cream of wheat is cereal. And yes, I have burnt
true.
It.
Oatmeal that's is true. Cereal. I don't know. Is that like worldwide, like the oatmeal is considered cereal? And, mm-hmm. and it is.
It's a grain.
Not just here. Yeah.
Jennifer, what's up with you? Did we already do your what's up? No, we did not.
We have not. Mm-hmm. My what's up is I finished editing book 3.
You did.
Wow.
That's so amazing.
I like obsessed over getting it done. And last night or yesterday on his way home from work, my husband called me and I said, listen, I have this many chapters left. It's all I want to do. And he's like, I'll cook dinner. So we had hot dogs on the grill,
nice.
But still I didn't have to worry about it. And I finished it up last night, had a raging headache. My neck hurts from like, all, cause I've just, that's all I've been doing. And everything else is kind of falling apart because I've only obsessed over doing that, but it's done and it's ready
it's
to
done. Go. And that's ready. How you do hard things. You put your butt in the chair and you do the work. Good for you. And I've got to say, shout out to Randy, who is Mr. Jen, because he has been nothing but supportive about your writing career. I mean, you know,
always.
The people in our lives have to like put up with us. And it is like a very strange thing to know that the person you love tucks themselves away for hours and hours. And somehow this is a better idea than being with me. What? But we have supportive family and we so appreciate them. Shout out to Randy. And good for you, Jen, for doing hard things. Yay.
So off to the editor next week.
Ooh, yay.
Are you ready for that, editor?
Yes, that's why my smile is so big. I can't wait. All of these juicy things you added since the, because when we stopped doing our meetings, when we started doing the podcast, we really lost the element of being super in touch with what each other is writing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of a bummer. So anyway, okay, now. We've done all of the what's up. So we need to move on to the topic du jour, which is indescribable, which of course that worship, praise and worship song, indescribable. Anyway, but this is not about God. This is about your characters. Okay. So how do we handle character description in our novels? So can someone who has the outline tab open already take over speaking right now?
Well, first of all, we want to talk about why physical description was important or if it even is important. And I right. would argue that it is important, though it may depend on your genre. So as always, I'm going to talk about romance, and it is very important in romance because that's tends to be when if people you can say what you want. But when you first saw your significant other or at some point, because it really wasn't a love at first sight thing for me and my husband. Well, for me, it's another story. Like there is something like it's the, you notice the physical first. And so with romance, it's very important to incorporate the physical aspect of a person's description and not just skim over that.
Well, and to support what you're saying, Jennifer, I would imagine it's important in romance to paint the picture for your reader because the experience you're selling to the reader is that love story. I mean, it's a key component. And if you want your reader to believe the woman has fallen in love, they need to believe that the person is attractive, right? So attractive right. at least to the person. So even if they're not attractive in like a traditional way, it has to be something yes. that your female or your opposite to your partner for that person would find attractive, right?
Right.
Right.
Which I'm kind of excited to share my sprint today, except that I didn't get to finish it. So I don't know, but it's already starting something in my mind. But yeah,
is it a romance?
Maybe.
Ooh, yeah, because it was all our sprint today. We'll just go ahead and spoil that is to describe some person for the whole sprint, because we really wanted to explore this idea of what it is like to take some time to describe a person. So, Jennifer, you're saying it's genre dependent and romance. Absolutely. It's super important. Tina, right. what do you think about it as far as the genres that you write in?
Well, like action adventure. I don't really write in sci-fi, but I think that might not be the same. I think like if you have a creature from space, obviously you need to describe it. Mm-hmm. But action adventure fantasy that I write in, I generally don't describe the physical features of my character as much as maybe what they're wearing. So if they were going into a battle, I might describe their armor and their sword, mm-hmm. And just touch on little bits and leave most of it, most of the like eye color and all that kind of stuff to the reader's imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just said something that sparked something in my mind too. Being genre specific, like, I think that it's important that you would decide what you're going to describe, right? I never read the books.
Are you trying to think of the name of a series?
Yes. Okay. Movies and the Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, okay.
And my stepdaughter saw them. She was so angry because she goes, that's not what Katniss looks like. And then her friend's like, that's exactly what Katniss looks like. And they had an argument about it. And I wonder if it's because the author chose to describe only, like, they were arguing about the braid, the mm-hmm. hair. That's what they were arguing about. And I think that that was very specific in the story, and it had something to do with the story. And mm-hmm. so that's what they focused on. Where romance, I have to think, you know, I focus on all kinds of, you know, throughout the story, the different physical aspects. But maybe other genres only focus on, like, one thing. Like, and or something that they get really specific so that they make you under, like, make you in your mind at least see the character, but it might be different than other people. But like with mystery, Rhonda, it's important for you, but for a different reason than it is for me, right?
Yes, because you want people to fall in love with your two main characters with their physical description. And I want people to be a suspect. You know, I want them mm-hmm. to look a different way than you want your characters to look. Right. And not only the people, it's just as important to describe the people, but you also need to describe surroundings and items. And you need to point out details that maybe are completely benign, but they look like they're suspicious, or make something that should be suspicious look completely benign.
So maybe when we talk about like, description, like settings and stuff, that would be more like what you are concerned with when you write than you are about
yes and yes and because sometimes you could even consider the you know, the weapons or the clues as sort of a character.
Oh, okay, right. Maybe there's a statue that has pearls in it or something. Now this becomes a character in the book, and you have to treat it as such. It has to be described just kind of the same way, because the details are important in general in mystery. All details are important, I would think, as a mystery writer. Would you agree?
Yep.
I've never written one, but I would think. So Tina, you were saying about science fiction, and you were saying, of course, description would be important there, the physicalities. But were there other things that you wanted to share about physical description as far as, like, say you were doing a crime drama, description of the victim, or do you limit it only to what's necessary to solve the case? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I would decide what the reader needs to know in order to feel like they can solve it or that they have an idea of what of who done it.
So it's important to be particular where you spend your attention.
Right. That's my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Robin says, see, I've heard the opposite. I've heard it's best not to give super detailed descriptions so that the reader can fit their imagination to the story. Yep. This is why I think it's genre specific. Because I've also heard of writers getting slammed in reviews because they wait till halfway through their book and they mention something about the physical appearance of one of the characters, and people get mad because they're like, the whole book I thought they were blonde, and now you're telling me they're a redhead, because they weren't specific enough. They were letting their readers come up with their own physicality, but then they decided to throw something in there. So I think it can be a choice. I think it depends on your genre, but if you make the choice, you got to stick with it so that you don't anger those people that are reading it and have already decided what the characters look like.
I think it also is dependent upon the story. For example, I'm reading a book right now where the main character is an albino, and she's discriminated against me. It's a fantasy thing. So she wakes up this dragon through this magic ability that she has. And when she does, her hair turns copper. So that's part of the story. And so it would be important to know right from the start that this girl is an albino and she has white hair, and then it's different than everybody else who's kind of oriental looking.
All right. Well, I have, go ahead with the chat, Jen. What's Piper got to say?
She said, also, I've been told not to include something that isn't going to actually be important later in the story. Maybe not so particular for looks, though. I agree. Like for setting and things like that, like don't over describe what's going on if it's not important. But I think it's genre specific. And sometimes things that I write, you might think, well, like, why is that important? Like Esther, the physical appearance was very, very important because I had to keep you believing that he thought she was someone else through almost the whole book. So
Jen, you really had a trick to pull off there, and you did a very good job, by the way. Oh, if you guys like you. Mistaken Identity and Clean Christian Romance, Jennifer, they should pick up a copy of
Avoiding Esther, available everywhere now.
Yes. Yeah. Woo! Do it again. Sorry. Avoiding Esther. Okay. Go. You gotta practice. Do it.
Avoiding Esther, available everywhere books are sold.
Yes. When I meet you guys in real life in the chat, I want you to sell me your book. Okay. I'm Sage, author of, and tell me where it's available, because you guys have to practice talking about yourselves like your author. So knock it off because you are. So anyway, I just wanted to say, I was thinking about this topic and I've kind of come down to, because I just did not know what to say, because I write in multiple genres and I'm like, so I can't talk to a specific genre. So how do I handle description? And I guess my philosophy, like it or not, this is just what I like to read. And so it's what I like to write. I am writing from a voice, and the voice that I'm writing from, I feel like has eyes and is in the room, whether I'm inside my character's head or I'm an omniscient narrator. So I describe what I see, because that's what's going to be important to the story, because I'm telling the story. So I don't worry about how much description or what to describe, because it always changes based on what is happening in the story and what your eyes land on. You don't always notice that someone has blue eyes, but sometimes you do. And if you wouldn't organically notice their blue eyes, I wouldn't mention it. Like, I don't shove description into my book so people know what my character looks like. I rely on them to just get what organically comes out. And I think sometimes my readers have no clue what my people look like. And then I would just have to take that criticism and try to fix it in the future.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that, because up in the chat a little bit earlier, I'm trying to see who it was. I think it was Shell said that she got slammed in a review because, oh, right here. It was Piper. Sorry. I got a review that told me I had not described my character. I think she was so clear to me, I thought I had, which I think a lot of us do. And I think that even some of us around this circle here have had that, because we're like, no, because we fall in love with our characters, but we have to make sure that we are writing in a way that everyone else sees what we see. Right. And I agree with what Jamie said, that I don't do descriptions just to throw descriptions out there just so you know what I think they look
like.
It has to have a purpose for it. And even if you're writing first person, like you were talking about, Jamie, sometimes you can describe what the person is seeing in a someone else, and it gives you more insight into the person that's narrating. Like the way they judge that person, because the way they look, or the fact of what they notice about that person. I read a James Scott Bell book that he put a little, like a short story in there, and the guy was talking about looking at a woman and he was noticing the necklace, and he started talking about her neck, and it became very kind
borderline,
of borderline sensual. It became very sensual, and all he was talking about was the necklace and her neck. That was it. And I was like, whoa, that was really well done. That didn't tell me anything about the woman. It told me everything about the person that was describing the woman.
Very interesting. Yeah. And I love that, Jennifer, because most people would use that opportunity to say her green eyes flashed. Ha ha. Now you know my character has green eyes. Well, nobody's falling for that. But like you said, if you can disclose something about the teller, then you are doing like a really cool artsy thing. And I think that elevates your writing. So I think we should strive to have more moments like that when we can. Would you agree?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. What about you other two ladies? Would you agree?
Yes.
Definitely. I agree. Yep.
Awesome. Okay. So I think we need to move on the outline. I still do not have my tab clicked. What is wrong with me? What is next? So we have to talk about actionable. That's what it was. We want you guys to be able to up your description game, and we want to up our description game. And so we're trying to think, what can we tell you to go away from today's episode that you could actually do the next time you sit down to write to make sure your descriptions are better. Who wants to call out the first one? What about you, Tina? What's one actionable tip for our podcast viewers and listeners?
I would narrow the focus. Okay. So if you're doing physical description, narrow it down to one or two things for each scene. Are you going to talk about her hair? Are you going to talk about, like in historical fiction like Jen does, it's very important to describe the clothing.
Yes.
That the character is reading. So maybe in the beginning you want to focus on that. So pick one or two things and focus on that for each scene.
That's very a really good point. I was just thinking about a particular scene, speaking of avoiding Esther, when John sees Esther for the first time, I did start with the hat. Like her face is hidden with a hat because I, I was setting it up for like, so you feel like you're there in that time period. I described it. But then as her head lifted, like I'm thinking like, man, no, I slammed a whole bunch of description in there, but I really didn't. She lifted her head and it started with the eyes.
Right.
And then it slipped down the nose. He talked about her nose and then settled on the lips because wouldn't that be a man?
That's what he's seeing. Right.
I don't talk about how tall she is. I don't talk about in that scene. I don't talk about any of that stuff, but I just focus on that. And it describe her, but it really gives you insight into John in that moment and the kind of person he is and where he and like what's happening to him right then. So yeah, I totally agree with that about narrowing it down to just focusing on one or two things.
Rhonda, do you have a tip to toss out there so that today when our listeners jump out there to write something, they can make their descriptions better? What do you got for them?
Well, I don't know if you want to call this a tip, but this is something that I do and maybe they can do it too. When I'm deciding what characters are going to be in my book, I have to really flesh them out pretty well. I don't do one of those like 500 questionnaires about what they did.
Someone was asking about a character bio. You're kind of talking like that, like a sketch or something.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But before I have like a movie playing in my head when I'm writing. And so I need to be able to see who the characters are. So I need to get that all determined before I start writing because that helps with their reactions to the other characters too, when I'm writing.
That's really fascinating because I would have said until speaking with you in this moment that I also am watching a movie, I realized I am not. For me, I am hearing a story. Isn't that weird? In my head, I don't see anything. Mm-hmm. I hear words. Yeah. What do you girls see your story or do you hear it?
I see a page with it written on a page.
Sweet.
Really? Movie all the way. Movie all the way.
Cool. Yeah. I think that's going to flavor the way you handle descriptions. Where do you guys see mine? I think it's totally off the reservation, but
I think it probably flavors the choice that you choose to, the genre you choose to write in too. I mean, when you guys are seeing this about what you actually see, like, I think that tells us a lot about what genres you've chosen too.
Well, yes, because that's why genre isn't important to me, right? Because for me, it's the music of the words and how they flow together. And so in my head, I need to, like, if the writer starts me off with da 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 da, then I'm like, whoa. So see, do you understand? So it's like, for me, genre, that's why genre, that's so, wow.
That's funny because I would say it's the poetry of the words. And you say it's the music. It's like, it's similar, but a little bit different.
This is why it's important to listen to everybody in your community, because you're going to have different giftings and you're going to have different perspectives. And someone might not see it the way you do. That does not make them your enemy. It just makes them maybe not your audience. So move on and find a person who appreciates the writing the way that you do it. I mean, we've all talked about none of us would read romance, but we love Jennifer and she's a good writer. So we read, you know what I'm saying? We don't like say, well, you have nothing to teach me, romance writer. What would we do if we did that? We would be fumbling around with no podcast and no slick marketing and everything that Jennifer does. So whatever about all that. What are we doing next? Do we have more to talk about?
Piper, Robin, and Maria are all team movie. I'm curious to know, like, if other of our chatters are like the other two. Like, if any of you see just the words on the paper or if any of you just hear it. I'm just curious. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Go ahead, Jen.
I would say, I think I already said this earlier, is I would describe early. Don't don't wait until the middle of the book to start describing your characters, because at that point your readers have already imagined them. So try to describe as early as possible and in creative ways. Like, don't just say the blonde long-legged woman. Like, no, just do it very more creatively. And then vary it. Don't describe it always in the same way. This is something I struggle with because I do focus on all of the physical attributes, especially facial features, that it's easy for me to say, you know, the round eyes. There's lots of different shapes of eyes. Not everybody has like,
and they're just, always twinkling
and so yeah.
It is difficult though, because I find gestures more difficult than a physical description. It's very easy to say someone has brown hair, but to try to think of different ways that people can shrug or lift an elbow or raise an eyebrow or curl the corner of their mouth. Like, if you're trying to say he smiled, if you have a smiley person, you have to think of different ways to describe their smile. Or do you know what I mean? So for me, it's less about like, what color is their hair? And definitively, how tall are they? Those things are facts written in stone. But when you know what I mean? So the physicality, describing those things are difficult for me. So my challenge, my actionable tip would be to go and find your particular stumbling block. In my newsletter, I put pools. All of my people stare into pools. I'm like, whoever stares into a pool of anything. And so I was kind of having fun with that in the newsletter, but I'm like, I've got to figure out a different way to talk about looking at someone else in the eyes, you know? And so challenge yourself to find your little crutches or whatever and fix just one. Just fix one.
That's a great advice. That's really good advice.
Okay. Do we, all hearts cleared on the topic? If so, we can move along. What do you got in the chat, Jen?
I don't know.
All right.
Shell said, I think I hear first, then see like a movie. I have very loud inner monologue, but also see in pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And Maria says, depends on what kind of process you're at as well for drafting. And when I'm reading sections, it's like a movie, but when I'm deep into the edits, like I am right now, it's more like seeing the words.
Yeah.
The opposite. I think it's more of a movie for me when I'm editing, but go ahead.
Jen, what was that word we were trying to say? Leapt, L-E-A-P-T. I was like, how do you spell leapt? Because I couldn't remember, would there be an A in it or not? And I wrote it and it looked weird. That must be what Shell's talking about. Like, she sees the words and they have to look right. Do you know what I mean? Because when you write down a word and you're like, that can't be how it's spelled, but it really is. Mm-hmm. I get that.
Gigi says, I listen to my words. I had not really thought about that before. I read my words out loud and tweet constantly, a tweet until I hear the flow.
Gigi's that's my good piece. yeah
That's what I've been doing. That's what this last stage of editing is, listening to the computer read it to me. And there's nothing like the monotonous sound of the computer voice reading your words, because you hear the mistakes.
Yeah,
you get past the, like, when you're reading it out loud or when you're even reading it in your head, you think there's words there, you think that they're spelled correctly, but like when they say to you, she assent the stare. Oh, wait, that's not a sentence.
Yeah. Do you want to know, like, the biggest proof of this is when we read our sprints on the air, because we correct them. Do you know what I mean? As we're going along. But then we've noticed, because for reasons, which will be revealed sometime soon, we have noticed that we are self-correcting the sprints when we read them out loud to you guys, but that they're really much worse. So someday you'll probably get a picture of a few, hint, hint, that have been uncorrected, so you can see how much we really kind of fudge, just because it's natural to fix it, right? When your brain just fixes the error. So Jen is wise to have a different person or artificial person read her manuscript.
Yep.
All right. Should we move on now to the super fun feeding of the backs?
Yay.
Yes. Yay. This
we actually had somebody in chat today say that they liked the sprint today. We've never had that. Can I just tell you? Never has anyone said, we like the sprint. Usually we're like,
am I wrong, or did Jason March like post his sprint right into the chat?
In Facebook, I saw that.
We encourage you to share your sprints with us. Now, Jennifer, tell us how they get the most bang for their buck. Is it smarter for them to like have a blog and then retweet to us so we can comment back? Do you know what I mean? Because if we promote them, like, what would help them get the most out of it? If they put it on what? And then what?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what they want. If they want traffic to their blog, I would say put it on your blog and then tweet us with the link and make sure you tag, you know, at Kristen Indy Ritt, I think is what they are. But we just, even if you just want to do a screenshot and send it as an image, put it as an image on Twitter and say, we'd love to share your guys' tweets.
We would love that too.
Mm-hmm. But we share your writing. Yes. That's what we're here for.
Yes, my thought process is if it's a social media thing that I'm doing, I'm trying to milk it. Like, I don't want to maybe get it be lost in the comments of the podcast where it's just going to be, the feed is just going to keep going and my sprint is goodbye forever. I'd rather maybe have it on my blog page and then link to it, right? So it can be viewed maybe by more people. Is kind of what I'm saying. So you guys should always be, it's like a material now that you have. What, Tina?
If you want to drive traffic to your Facebook, like let's say you have a Facebook author page and you want to drive the traffic there, post it on your author page and tag Christian Indie Writers in it.
Mm-hmm. Great idea too. Yep.
All right. Yes. Because like it's hard to come up with content for your social media and for your newsletter. So always consider all your writing help. It's an aid to you to advance your career. With that said.
Same thing for Instagram too. They could do an image that make it in post and we will share that around too. So all of them.
Yes.
Tag us in them and we'll help.
Let me tell you guys, you think that the social media component is hard, but just take the work you're already doing and use that to puff up your social media platform, and you'll be one of a few people who aren't on there saying, buy my book. Okay. So, Jen, why don't you tell us what the sprint prompt was? We set a timer for 15 minutes every week and we write without correcting. And then we share with each other. And because these are raw and unedited pieces, we give only positive, encouraging feedback. Our prompt this week was,
and the entire sprint describing the physical attributes of a single character.
Ooh. All right, Jen, take it away. Let's see what you can
find. Danny spotted her from across the room. She stood with a group of other women, deep in conversation, as if she had been there a while. Why was he only noticing her now? Women like that tend to make an entrance, garnering his attention immediately. She was taller than the others. He judged her to be about 5'8", maybe 5'9", just like he liked them. And her hair was dark, all dark. No artificial highlights like the others around her. Maybe her hair wasn't all that dark, he mused, since the sea of bottled blondes that surrounded her might just be causing it to appear darker than it really was. Regardless, it made her stand out, causing Danny to once again wonder at how he had missed her. She laughed at something, and Danny noticed her smile. It wasn't as white as the others. The lighting of the room caused many of the women here to appear to have blue teeth. He was too far away to know for certain, but he thought they might be a little crooked. He hoped so. He wondered what color her eyes were. They were dark. They looked dark, maybe chocolate brown, but they could have been a dark hazel as well. He made a mental note to check when he got close enough. She turned, and he noticed how long her hair actually was. Long, wavy curls cascaded down her back, settling somewhere between her shoulders. Probably extensions. He didn't know any woman with the patience to actually grow hair that long. He didn't like extensions. He liked playing with the hair of the women he was with, and extensions felt creepy. The crowd thinned around her, and Danny got his first glimpse of her body, and his heart dropped. No wonder he hadn't noticed her. Unlike the women in her company, she did not have an Instagram-worthy figure. She was chunky. Not fat, but plumper than Danny preferred. But honestly, it was hard to tell how plump she was since she wasn't dressed like the other women here. The others, including those already married to players, wore tight-fitting, figure-revealing dresses. This woman wore a sheath dress. It fell just above the knee, revealing her lower leg, and Danny had no complaints there. But the boxiness of the dress hid most of the rest of her curves, and Danny liked curves, but only in certain spots. This woman seemed 3, 2, 1.
I feel like I know her.
I feel like I know him.
She's not supposed to be me. Is that what you thought? Because, like, gosh, I hope that didn't seem out that I was trying to write about me. But anyway, how do you, like... Do you like him? Jamie said you think you know him.
No.
Good. You're not supposed to like him. At least not yet. So yeah, as I'm writing this, I'm thinking, okay, so what if just a normal woman were with a bunch of like bottle blondes, right? She would stand out, right? And like you said earlier, but we didn't talk about this before we sprinted, like a normal woman, if a man could fall in love with a normal woman because you don't know what you're attracted to, right? You just, the different things that's, you know, I don't
they
know how
catch
to explain
the
it.
Eye, sort
they
of.
Catch the eye. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. So he's and been surrounded by all these fakes and all of a sudden there's a real woman there and he notices her. So I love the idea of playing with that idea that like he has to like come to realize that like there's more than just skinny bodies out there, you know?
Well, and if you can understand, Jennifer, kind of what you're saying, you can see how an idea can become fresh, even though it seems like it might have been written before. And hear me out, because each character is going to be just like an individual person in real life. And when you're dealing with an individual person in real life, they did not grow up in a vacuum, and right, their reactions and responses. So your fella had that reaction to chunky, awesome girl getting her groove on the dance floor. But what would like another chunky girl who isn't so bold to dance or something, you know what I mean? There would be a whole different kind of description going on there. So I think that was a very excellent sort of first one. Way to go, Jen. Way to handle the challenge.
It just made the question pop into my mind. I wonder what a blind man would see in a girl that would attract him.
I've read a romance. It's not Christian, but it's clean. I think she is a Christian, but it's a clean romance. And if you go to my Instagram and go to books I've read or something like that on my highlights, I highlighted the series because I'm just so impressed with the series that this woman did. But one of the characters, he was blind. So well done. You don't end up really knowing what she, even though you're on both, you get both perspectives, his and hers, you don't really end up knowing really what she looks like, but it's such a great romance. I love it.
Do you want to know what that reminds me of?
Yes, I do want to know what that reminds me of.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for?
Oh my goodness.
And if you are anywhere around my age, you are old and also know this song, so don't even pretend. Okay, so thank you, Jen, for that wonderful little squirrel segue. How about you read us yours next, Rhonda?
Well, okay, I will. All right, and also I want to say, now that I know that Tina sees the words hovering in front of her when she writes, I'm not as jealous of her 905,000 words. That
I know, they're like given to her ahead of time. Yes. Fair.
Right. I don't get mine in a platter like some people.
Okay. All right.
How was the beauty parlor? I asked as she jumped into the front seat and made herself comfortable. She looked great. My results were never this good. Maybe I need to start seeing a new girl. Oh, what happened there? Her blonde hair had natural highlights and lowlights, and somehow this new hairstyle showed them off beautifully. Did you like your new stylist? She replied with a small noise, which sounded affirmative to me, but did not turn away from the window she was staring out of. Not in the mood to talk, I guess. Stopped at the light. I watched her look up the car window. I noticed her ear twitch. I've always been jealous of her ability to somehow show emotion with her ears. Mine are completely stationary. I cringed at the memory of 7-year-old me wasting a whole summer trying to teach my ears to move. I still don't know how some people do it. The light turned green and we were on our way again. Do you want to go to the toy store? That got her attention. She flashed me her toothy smile, but still said nothing.
Ear twitch. This is what we're talking about. Find something, right, to describe and describe that instead of like so good. Like I never ever have ever written about an ear twitch, but like as soon as you said that, I was like, I was there. I saw it. I could see this person. So good.
So this is about your daughter or about a Vulcan or about a half bunny, half person. No, just kidding. But like, is it about your daughter?
Well, it's about my Pomeranian daughter.
Oh, then I was right. Because I was like, I thought a bunny. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yay that it's Teddy, right? Teddy needs to make way more appearances on our Instagram account. I think with our books and stuff like that, like Teddy needs, because Teddy is very cute and that kind of thing gets likes and follows, right? So
I think Teddy needs to make appearances on here. With her.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I said that before that needs to have the dog in her lap because we've seen her with the dog in her lap and it's just so cute.
It's so cute. Teddy is adorable.
He needs to be on the podcast.
Anyway, but yes, but your sprint was very good, Ren.
Well,
let's turn this into talking about Teddy.
It was, and I specifically chose her because I wanted to describe her like a human because she actually is a human. Aww. I know people say that, but she really is. And, but you know, she's still a dog too. So
it totally worked because I thought it was a human.
I
wasn't
too.
Until you said Teddy. I was like, I was remembering what you said. I'm like, yep.
Good.
I was morphing between like an older woman coming out of the hairdresser and then a younger woman with blonde hair. Mm-hmm. And then when you said toy store, I'm like, oh, it's a child. So like I never got to the dog part.
See, I thought you'd get it first because of Charlie.
The toy, want to go to the toy store that got her attention. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a head tilt. Like, see, little dogs are like my thing. So whatever. Okay. So I will read mine next. Sorry that makes you last, Miss Katane, but I totally failed at this assignment. So I would like to get my misery over with. So here
we go. You failed at it.
Well, okay. I was like, just not obedient. I just wrote whatever. But in my defense, I went live on my J.R. Nichols Facebook profile because I am an author now and I have to do lives and stuff like that. So I was like, what I can do is I will live stream when I'm actually doing the sprint for this podcast. Since I'm already doing a sprint for the podcast and I need to have lives on my Facebook, I decided that's how I would do it. I don't know if that's going to help me or not, but I thought I would give it a whirl. So if you guys want to see how the sausage is made, I don't know why you would. You can look around, like my page, so like you'll get a notification because it's random what time we do it. I'm making you no promises, okay? Because we sit down here at like 9 o'clock. Some of us don't even have like, you know, pants on. We're racing around. And
don't give our secrets away.
Right. So like, I don't know what time it will be every Friday, but I'm going to live me creating my sprint. So this time, not only was I like stressed because I don't do super well with physical description, but I was also live for the first time. So I was just weird.
So they can go back to your page right now and see it.
What did you say, Jen?
So they can go back to your page right now and they could see your actual writing as you're doing it. You did screen chain, right? Share, right?
Yeah, I screen shared.
After the podcast is over.
Yeah. Unless you want to watch me create it while I read it, but that might really freak you out. Okay. So here we go. I'm going to read it to you. Paul stood about 6'1", but he claimed an extra half inch to anyone who stopped long enough to listen. He took his coffee, one cream, one sugar, though the list of people who knew this fact was dwindling, and he didn't see opportunities to train a new gopher anywhere on his admittedly very short now horizon. He had a hooked nose, which he wiped with a hanky when he felt a drip or when he felt nervous, which was mostly any time he was talking to a lady, the unfortunate result of which being the misunderstanding between he and Mrs. Lafferty about an allergy to her gooseberry pie. Of course, once that matter was settled, the married women in town sent their pies via husband delivery service, and the single ladies and widows remembered to mention how high the pollen count was the last time they checked it when they stopped by to sit on the porch a spell and drop off a basket of fried chicken or a bowl of layered ribbon jello. He had an old dog who spent most of his days sleeping near the toe of his worn work boots. He always wished he was fancy enough man for cowboy boots, but something about a pointed toe didn't go right with his stocky physique. Trying on cowboy boots was the only time he complained much about his build, though. He appreciated being strong, able to take on most chores that needed doing in spite of the fact that the face he took his blade to each morning seemed to have more creases to navigate lately, and the whiskers that tickled the back of his neck from the place where they'd fallen onto his shirt collar were salt and pepper now. The coon dog didn't seem to care how old he got, and the feeling was mutual. He'd seen the dog's own decrepitude as a sort of mirror of his own, mostly believed watching the aging mutt was the one thing that kept him in check and aware that his life was slipping away. It's okay, he thought. It can keep on slipping. He'd had enough of the struggle to stay in one place. The farm going back to the bank was just the first step of the long slide back. Back to where he'd come from, back to the time before Lorraine and the kids and the drought and the terrible fights that sent her back to Chicago and the kids away to art school in San Francisco. He reached for his flask and braced himself for the punch of shine on his lips, the way he had since he first tried the stuff as a boy of 9. He wondered if anyone his paw knew saw him today, would they think him a specter, some sort of remnant cut away from the fabric of a man who'd managed to accomplish something with his meager 45 years? Paul had 6 on him, and he was fixing to start from scratch. He bent down to pat the coon dog and muttered, "Good boy." Then he put his flask to his lips again.
Wow.
I don't understand how you say that you failed.
Yeah, really.
I didn't focus on one character. I went into the dog. I didn't talk about like what he really like. I didn't stay on him. Do you know what I mean?
But you used the dog as a reflection of describing your character,
right?
We know your character, so you were trying to describe the dog, but I know exactly what your character looks like.
No, was trying to describe the man. Oh, you mean when I was describing the dog? You mean?
Oh, I thought you were saying that you went to the dog. I thought you were okay.
I was supposed to be describing this man, and the next thing you know, I'm going on about this dog, but I'm like, well, it's a sprint, so I just went with it. Was it enough about the man, though? Like, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. The creases on his face. There was just enough for me to get a picture of him that I am very happy with, without you telling me exactly like every detail of his face. But also the setting was so good. I know exactly where this guy is from, practically the time frame. Him drinking his shine and the specters, and it just, oh, the whole thing was great.
Plus, the thing about the boots being pointy, he couldn't wear pointy-toed boots because of his stocky frame. Like, that like filled in the picture for me.
Awesome.
Just that line right there.
Oh, good. Yay.
Sorry, Jen.
No, that's okay. No, just loved it. I don't even remember what I was going to say. It was good. So good.
Piper's asking, did you say he was 45? I don't remember that.
No, he's 51 because his dad died at 45 and he had 6 years on him. That was what I was going to say. Like you said, that stuck with me because that you gave us so much information in that one sentence. I know his age. I know he's had a hard life. And I know that like his dad died young and he probably didn't have a good relationship with him the way that he talked about him.
Well, so, and he never measured up.
Yeah. Love it.
All right. I think that
the reason that this description means so much to me is because you didn't just describe him physically. You described everything that made the guy what he was practically.
Why he's tired and sort of all that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I appreciate that you guys can see what I'm trying to do, because you wonder, does it work when you do it? So thank you. I appreciate all the good feedback. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
And I skipped over to your page and it's so cool to see, like, you can't see you. I thought you were going to be there and the screen. It's just the screen, but it's cool to see like your writing and then you back up. And like, it just, if in case you guys want to see it, it's just kind of neat to see.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. And then you can see, you know, it happening in real time. Awesome. Okay. Well, we've got one more to hear. Bambina, we love your stories. Take it away.
Okay. I just want to start by saying that this is a lot more description than I would ever put in one scene, because that was the assignment. So, and I don't know what I was thinking when I named my character, because it actually comes out being spelled asinine.
You tried to spell assassin?
No, asinine. Oh. Asinine is like, I was trying to think of a fantasy character name. So anyway.
Oh, that's great. A fantasy character named asinine? That is awesome. Oh my gosh. Someone needs to draw one for us. Maybe Jason. Jason, are you an artist? Can you draw us a fantasy character? Although possibly maybe someone in his life would not approve. So we should not encourage delinquency. I take it back. No shenanigans for you.
This is one of those things you would change in editing.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Asinine's cloak billowed behind her in the breeze. She stood on the hilltop, turning in circles as she stared at the landscape all around her. Dead bodies covered the ground like a carpet. A drop of blood fell from the tip of her sword, making an almost musical sound as it plopped into the puddle below. The sound startled her from her stupor, and she wiped the blood off her sword on her pants before replacing it in its scabbard. She wore the armor from the kingdom of the Black Dragon, all black except for the red flames etched into her helmet, which lay on the ground beside her where she'd dropped it. She picked it up and held it to her side with an elbow. She pulled the comb from her dark hair and let it fall down her back. The wind picked it up and it billowed with her cape, several strands blowing across her face. She put two fingers to her lips and whistled. The sound echoed back to her from the surrounding hillsides. Any who'd faced her on the battlefield that day were startled by her eyes, glowing orange and flickering with fire, but now they'd cooled to their usual jade green. Her lips were full and red, even without stain, and her high cheekbones testified to her pure blood. On the horizon, Boltar appeared, neighing and rearing up in greeting. Asinine started in his direction, making her way through the bodies, her boots squelching in the mud. That's it.
Hmm. Wow, I love the billowing cape and hair. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Right. And that sounds like a great description for, you know, a fantasy novel that just goes into all that kind of detail.
I like it because it's so different from what I do. Like, you are like an omniscient person on the outside. Like, when I, most of my description comes from the inside of the head of one of the characters looking at someone else, and you're able to like draw, like have like an omniscient kind of like a place mm-hmm. floating out here describing things. And it's a totally different world. That's really cool.
Yes. I'm so glad we did this episode, because things are coming to my attention, such as like Jennifer's point about when you are describing through the voice of a character, you're revealing that character. That seems to be a big takeaway, something that I learned today that I really didn't know before we came here. And then hearing Tina's just now, is description is more about how you look and is about those choices you make, like wiping the blood off on your clothes as opposed to on the cloak of your enemy, for example. Or like, there are choices that you deliberately, you make them as an author, and sometimes you feel like your character just did it because it's what mm-hmm. happened. Do you know what I mean? And those are the kinds of things where you're like, I had no idea my character would choose to wipe the sword off that way. And then that gives you like a clue and you're like, hooray, I know my character even more. So I just really feel like this episode has taught me a lot.
Same here.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Way to go, Bambi. That was an excellent description. I know you said it was more than you ever would do, but it did not feel like too much. Did you girls feel like it felt like too much?
I agree completely.
Yeah, Shell liked the details of the fire on the helmet and the fire in the eyes. That's tricky. Yeah, that's
one of the things I probably wouldn't have thought to describe was her eyes. And so then I ended up trying to tie it into the story instead of just like, oh, her eyes were green, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and so I'm like, well, why would somebody have noticed her eyes? And in my mind, she had killed all these people with by herself. Like, so.
Yeah. Well, and I would
magical power, kind of whatever.
Love it. Love it. And I love that too, Tina, because then future chapters of this particular work, let's say you expanded it, if you ever came to a place where you had to describe something, you could fall back to like a fire sort of theme, and you could describe it in terms that would remind of fire, right? So it can become like a theme in your work, like if you're careful. So that's kind of an advanced tip for you all. What's next? What's next? So we've read all of our stories. Great job, ladies, as usual. And now I think it's the time to go around the corner again, the table again, and talk about what's next. Should we do our announcement now, Jen, or after all the what's next? What do you think?
Let's do all the what's next first.
All right. Well, what's next with you then?
With me, well, next week I will be sending off my my book 3 to my editor, Jamie.
So exciting.
And I think I will, I'm not sure if I'm just going to jump into editing book 4. I might, because I kind of like feel like I'm in a groove right now. I might do that. Part of me wants to just start writing something new, but
no,
I just want to like do something new. But I think that if I open up book 4, it'll feel new because it's been so long since I touched it, because I put it aside.
It's Sarah's book, right?
Sarah's book. Yes. The Little Sister. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, and you guys have read enough of that one that I think that you probably want me to finish it up too. I do. Yeah. Like I know. So like this week when I was editing, at one point with you guys, I had to turn my camera off because, and my mic, because I got super emotional on a part that I was editing, because if I was reading this book, I'd be crying, right? So I was crying when I was editing it because I just really love these characters. Sarah's book has a very similar thing to me. Like, it's got some hard chapters, some very difficult chapters. And so I don't know. I think I probably will go straight into it, even though part of me really wants to just write a new book. But
right. Well, I mean, maybe you could do a 20-minute sprint every day on something that you can just enjoy. Like, I'm going to do 20 minutes of just writing whatever. Maybe you're a fun couple or something like that, that can maybe take the edge off. What's lots of what's next in the chat.
Yep. So, whoops. Oh, wrong one. Sorry.
Excited, Jennifer. Oh, geez.
Sorry, all about Jennifer.
Thanks, Gigi. Sage says, what's next? More work on her rebrand. That's thanks to my lovely folks in the AuthorTube community. I managed to secure my new domain, and I am so excited for all the things to happen. That's awesome.
Is there somewhere that we can see the rebranding process that Sage is going through?
That's a good question. Piper says, I set a deadline goal for my work in progress, so I need to get writing it. That's for me, that was it. Like, I had to set a deadline, and I've been doing it all along, but this time I was like really, really strict about my deadline.
I'm curious how much time she's given herself.
Oh, that's good. That's good. All right. Shell says, what's next? Still working through the 100 days writing challenge. I'm on day 60 and outlining my new story.
Awesome. Ooh.
Has she missed any days?
Yeah. Have you missed any days, Shell?
Rhonda, you're like a kick-butt accountability partner, man. I think we need Rhonda on here after the podcast every Friday just telling people, so Piper, you said you were going to do blah, blah, blah. She'll call
it's
you
like
on
an
the
investigative
carpet.
Journalist or something.
Yeah.
That's right.
Awesome. But what is your tell me their what's next. Did I not pick someone? Did we get all distracted? Rhonda.
Oh,
go ahead, Tina. Yeah. What's next?
Well, I'm still out here in the campground. And so I am working hard on, I have a few content edits to do to be done with this edit. And then I'm going to do like a read through where I have the computer read it to me and put it through Pro Writing Aid and then off to the proofreader.
Ooh, I'm going to have a very busy
before publishing.
Very exciting. Oh, but wait, that's not coming to me. Do you have another proofreader in mind? Do you have someone in mind, or we could talk about that off camera?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, that's to be determined. Awesome, Tina. I'm so excited. So are you close? Do you think you have another month, or what do you think?
No, I think if I really buckle down, I could probably have it done in a week.
Ooh, is that your goal? Or are you
depending
a little
on these content edits? If I get stuck on one of the content edits,
right,
and it takes me more time, then that might happen. But I don't think it's going to.
All right. Are you giving yourself a deadline, or are you still wanting to be just kind of free about it and not really be deadliney?
I would rather like just tell myself I'm going to work on it every day, and what I get done, I get done, and then I just tend to do better that way. That's just my personality.
I hear that, and I will take my cue from that and tell you guys my what's next. So, like, first of all, I have to say I am enjoying Twitter. So you guys who, like, you know, have been following along, possibly if you've opened your Twitter for the first time in, I don't know, looks like for some of you several weeks, because, yes, I've been going trying to retweet your content, and there's nothing there. You will probably see a million posts by Christian indie writers. And it is me trying to find our social media stride. You remember we talked about it last week. And so I've kind of gotten to where I'm scheduling tweets to happen during what I would consider awake hours, 8 to 8 for Christianity writers. But my personal author Twitter is sort of languishing. So I just wanted to update everybody about that. So when you log into your Twitter account, if you see Christian indie writers posting like over and over and over, good. Because we want our brand to be in front of people. But I do also want to encourage you guys to post some, you know, I don't know, encouragement or kind of whatever on your own profile. Start building your visibility to people. We want to encourage you guys. We want to lift others as we climb. So start being a little more intentional about your social media. I'm going to call y'all on the carpet. Okay. And then
when Rhonda's done keeping you accountable about your writing, then Jamie's going to get back on here and make you.
It's all really selfish, girls, for sure, because what I want is for all of our podcast listeners to post awesome content that I can just retweet.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to like dig and find stuff, because everything I find is someone promoting their own book. Ladies, if you can be on Twitter and not be a person promoting your own book for 5 seconds, you will be a favorite. Okay. Because I am digging around trying to just find relevant to writers stuff on there. That's not just self promo all the time. So just saying, enough about that.
What? Right, because you can self-promo, but content, sell. Content, you know, like, otherwise people don't care. We had recently somebody comment on one of our tweets, and the comment had nothing to do with the tweet, and it was just him saying, here's my book, go buy it. And at first I just was going to delete it. And then I'm like, Jamie wisely spoke up and said, no, reach out to him, because this is what we're here for, is to help other Christian writers. And so we reached out and let him know that it was not really like good to do that. And that if he had, you know, something good to say, you know, and he was kind of snarky when he came back. Well, aren't you here to help Christian writers? Yes, we're not here to sell your book. Anyway, long story short, his whole page was just him selling his book and nothing else. And he had like 13 followers. And he'll only have 13 followers, right? So.
All right. And so, like,
I probably should have brought that up.
I sure hope he's not watching the podcast right now.
I hope he is. No, because I mean,
we do.
Yes, we were trying, our heart was, we wanted to help this gentleman. If you want to sell your book, you have to let people know that you care about them as well. You just sticking in people's faces it's not going to sell your books. People want to know the writers. People want to get to know them. Even me with romance, people want to know me. They want to know what I'm doing on a daily basis, believe it or not. They want to know like what it's like for me to be as a writer and what my office looks like and things like that. They want to know that. They don't want me just saying, buy my book. They don't like that.
Mm-hmm. It's really tricky to find that stride, but hopefully we're going to hit it here soon. So it won't be quite so intense with the number of posts that we'll be posting, but we are trying to be a little better about that. And then I just want for my own personal what's next. I finally found 35 words or less to talk about my book. So I want to just read it for you guys. And it's, I don't know, it is what it is. So here's finally what I've come up with.
This is your elevator pitch, correct?
Not really. I mean, it's very Dr. Seuss because that's the kind of mood I was in, but it's 35 words to talk about my book. So for me, it's a win. Reese seeks peace, but the wilds demand more. The civvies are clueless. The govies want war. And now that he's met a girl he can't forget, he wonders if love might be worth fighting for.
Wow.
Wow.
I love that.
Yes. Do you guys love it?
I do.
Especially since the little bit I've read of the story, I'm so excited for this book. I cannot wait to read this.
Can you guys tell enough of what it's about from that? Because I was so happy with it when I read it.
You can tell what it's about. You can tell genre, and it gives you a little peek into your main character.
Oh, yay. I'm so glad. And I've just got to give a shout out to somebody out there in the audience who knows who they are that sent me a very encouraging message this week. And you guys, when you reach out and tell an author that you enjoyed their book or just anything kind and encouraging that you can say to another author that they know is because you read their book and you liked it. Wow, because we all think our book is good or we wouldn't publish it, but we're still kind of secretly not sure anybody else is going to think it's good. So don't ever be afraid to reach out because you might be the person to propel somebody to have the amazing breakthroughs in writing that I had this week. I just have to say the encouraging comments came right on time and I had been kind of in prayer about my work. And then I just had wall after wall come down in my project just because another person believed in me. So you guys reach out and tell someone if there's a writer in your life and you believe in their project, don't hold back. That's what I got to say about that. So what's next for you, Rhonda?
Okay. So I kind of feel like, you know, at the beginning of the school year, everything's just kind of new again. You've got your new school supplies and your new habits, and your new teachers and everything. Well, I kind of feel like right now, the last couple of weeks has been the school shopping and then school is starting this week. I've been working on my office hour habits. And now I'm trying to add in social media habits. So that's not going so well. I just need to be on my computer more to be able to get that done. So that'll be my focus this week. But I'm happy with my schedule. And I think it's going to work out for me.
Yes, because, you know, we're all about trying to make our writing career work with the rest of our lives. And so you've got to just schedule it out sometimes and make the time to do it. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Jen, did we talk about your what's next? Yes. You're coming to me with edits. Okay. Awesome. Yes. So I hit everybody, right? Sometimes I'm a little distractible. Awesome. Do we all hearts clear then? Do we think that we're done for today? Or do we have anything more to say about descriptions?
We have something more to say about something coming up.
Super fun. How could I forget? Guess what, you guys? Our 100th episode is coming up. Jen is like dancing to imaginary song. Dun, 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 dun. 100th episode. Okay. So because it's our 100th episode, we're doing something super fun. Ladies, why don't you tell us what it's all about? Rhonda, you're supposed to go first.
Oh, I am? Oh, I'll just do it.
I'll just do it. I'm here. Yeah. So our 100th episode is coming up and we are having a contest to celebrate.
Yay!
That's right. We're going to give away the following: a signed copy of Plot Your Novel by D.D. Bauman, a signed copy of Second Chance by J.R. Nichols, a signed copy of Avoiding Esther by Jennifer Carl Tong, a Christian Indie Writer's mug. I don't have mine here. Does anyone have theirs handy?
I don't. Mine's broken.
We're so not prepared. You have some swag. You get a Christian Indie Writers mug, as well as handmade coasters crafted by Christina Catane with our logo on it. And here is how you enter. Because it's our 100th episode, we decided that we wanted to do something special. We wanted to celebrate 100 with 100. So part of our contest is writing a Drabble. A Drabble is, I'm scared to death because I'm going to do it too. A Drabble is a piece of writing that is exactly 100 words. No more, no less. A complete story in 100 words. So that's, those of you that decide to participate in this, we will randomly choose some of them to share on the podcast and also to put out on our social media. So we're very excited about this. For more information and to enter the contest in lots of different ways, you can get lots of different entries. Go to our website, christianindiewriters.net/episode100. So christianindiewriters.net/episode100. And you'll
get
have
all the deets there. Please enter. Please enter. We need things to put on that podcast episode. Yeah. If you guys do not do your 100, even if you fail, even if you only get 96 words, don't leave us flapping in the breeze. We're not planning that week because you all are giving us our content. So please write some Drabbles and send them. And,
no pressure.
No pressure, right. Yeah. Maria says the contest sounds good. Yay. Hey. All right. So you guys get on over there. Jen, hit them with that web address one more time.
ChristianIndieWriters.net. /episode 100.
Ooh, 100,
episode 100.
Shell says, challenge accepted. She's never done a Drabble before. Yeah, it'll be really fun. Mm-hmm. I'm excited too. Do we have like a topic? Do we want to maybe like anything? It's open topic, wild card, right? 100 word story about anything.
Yes. Awesome. Because we all write different genres. So I think we should, especially since it's sub difficult, I think, to do 100 words.
Yes.
I think that's
and
it. That's
now that I've completely got your hopes up about reading them on the air, we can't read them all, can we, Jen? We'll have to select a few. Okay.
We're going to randomly select them. Yes.
All right.
Unless only two of you do it, then congratulations.
Your odds are pretty good, guys. I mean, okay. Awesome. Well, I think that's all of it then. If there's nothing else,
I think that the comment that Sage made is really funny.
Yes. She What'd said, you
write,
say?
Write a Drabble, they said. It'll be fun.
I never said it would be fun.
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
Or maybe it was Jamie. Somebody said it'll be fun.
The contest is fun. There's other things to do, like follow us and follow each of us, and you get all these different entries. The Drabble's become part of it.
Yeah. Like, we don't really want to say that you don't have to write a Drabble. We want to pretend that you really have to write one. But they talked me out of forcing you guys. You guys are lucky these other ones stepped up for you, because I was like, they have to write a Drabble. They're like, no. So you can still enter even if you write Bupkis. That's fine. Okay.
I didn't step up for them, by the way.
Rhonda also was like, you will write a Drabble.
We all have, all four of us have to. We can't get out of it.
Okay. So, if that's all, then this concludes this episode of the Christian Indie Writers Podcast. Until next time, may your pen be prolific, may your deadlines be met, and may all of your words honor Christ. Bye now.
Bye, everyone.